was the king's cupbearer in Persia, and living in Persia, being born in Persia, growing up in Persia, and living his life there, he received the news that the walls of Jerusalem, even though he was a Jew born in Persia, he received news from there that the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down and the gates had been bent down, and he was seriously distressed. He went into a time of serious prayer until he was ready. He was willing, as a man, he discerned the will of God and was willing to do something about it. So he went back to go and rebuild the walls. And as a church, we declaring the rest of this year as a year of rebuilding. We are really looking at ourselves and looking at areas in our life that can be better. It's not that we are not good. We are good. There is a lot of good about us. West Hudson Christian Center is where people come to encounter God. And so over here, we are saying that we want to be that church that God called for this community, to be a blessing to our community, to come along our community and be able to serve our community the way God has called us to serve. And so to do this, we want to start with looking at ourselves. Nehemiah, last week, we saw that was commissioned by the king to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. We saw that he didn't just go to the king. He went in wisdom. He went in humility. He also went, and as he spoke, he grew in confidence. He depended on God for God to move on his behalf. And so now we've come to the second part of chapter 2. We are going to read Nehemiah chapter 2, 9 to 20, and I'm going to call on Brother Ed to read the passage for us before we pray, and then I'll speak. So, Brother Ed, if you can, please. Thank you. 9 to 20.
Good morning, church. Can you stand for the reading of the word? I'll be reading out of King James, 9 through 20. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had set captains of armies and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night. I saw some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by the night, the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gate thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gates of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up to the night by the brook, and I viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I as I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the the walls of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that had been spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobin, the servant, the Elamite and Geshen, the Arabian, heard of it. They laughed up at us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Then I answered and said unto them, the God of the heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no part or portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless you so much. Shall we pray, please? Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We worship you. We exalt you. We lift you up. Father, that at this moment you have been speaking to us since we came here, even from home. Lord, as your word continues to come, we pray you will quiet our hearts, give us the heart to listen and to take your word, and that we will go and be the people you've called us to be. May we be doers, O Lord, and not hearers. We bless you, Spirit of our living God. Have your way amongst us. Take absolute control of this time. And Lord, we yield to you. Have your way. We bless you, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Speak as your servants heareth. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Shall we please sit in the presence of our Lord? We thank you so much. God bless you. And so we continue on Nehemiah chapter 2, 9 to 20. Nehemiah starts this verse 9 by saying, I went. We saw from the previous chapters how Nehemiah had heard about the news, and he prayed, he repented on behalf of the whole of Jerusalem and Israel, and he went to the king and asked the king for everything he would need to go. But now Nehemiah says, I went. He was comfortable in his position back in the Persian land, but after getting everything he needed, he had prayed, he had acted in confidence and in boldness in the Lord, and the king had come along him and had given him everything he would need. He went planned, and the king had given him everything he needed. You would think that at this point he would send the things, but Nehemiah himself went. This is another example of Nehemiah's godly leadership. He actually went. He traveled the miles. According to now, researchers say that it's 800 miles. He traveled 800 miles from Persia to Jerusalem to do the work of rebuilding the walls for the people. Glory to God, right? He wasn't going to sit around and be giving instructions. He wanted to be in the middle of it. If God has started doing something and God wants to rebuild these walls, God had to do it with him. Many people have a heart touched like Nehemiah. See, many of us, as we walk in our communities, we see the needs. As we speak to people, we see the needs. Even as we come here, this building that God has given us to come and serve in, we worship him in, we see the needs. Many Christians see the needs, but only few are really willing to get up and do something about it. And this should be an example to us as children of God, to be willing to do something, be willing to be used. And as we allow ourselves to be used, God will also use us. You see the word that came today, that he's saying that we should give him our totality, our fullness. Many of us have given some part of us. Many of us are not ready to be used. You see, God is in the doing, not the saying. God moves when his children act. So when we refuse to act, it's almost as if there is no God. And that is what we see these days. A lot of talking, a lot of praying, a lot of criticizing, a lot of saying, but very few are really willing to get up and do the work. And so I want to encourage all of us. The Lord is calling us to a place of doing. The time of praying is good. The time of planning is good. The time of asking for favor is all good. But now the time has come for us to work. There is a lot to be done, and we cannot leave it to a few to do. Whatever God has laid on your heart, it is time to start acting upon it. It is time to act. It is time to act. And then you also see that he crossed the Euphrates beyond. As he crossed, he did the first thing. He went to the governor's place. When you look, he says, I gave them the king's letters. He went to the governors and he gave them the king's letters. He came prepared. He came prepared. He also had captains with him, captain of the army. He wanted to go to the right sources first to do the presentation. But then look, Sambalat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite at the governor's station. Nehemiah met these two enemies of Jerusalem and anyone who cared for the welfare of the city. That's what the passage says. They were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Do you see where the evil exposes himself? He doesn't wait till later, right from beginning. And men, the children of God today, children of God, we need to understand, the devil always wants to let us know that he's still imminent, he's still present. He doesn't wait till somewhere in the middle or somewhere at the end. Right from when God gives you the desire, right from when you get the thought, right from when you see what to do, the enemy appears. He wants you to know, I am here. And so when you know this, it is not the time for you to also go back into your cocoon like a tortoise. Don't stop there. The devil, Satan, and his demons have no good intent for anything in our community, anything in our personal life. All they want to do is to destroy. And like the passage says, they were disturbed that they saw that somebody had come for the good. And so every time you want to do something good for the devil, for God, the devil wants you to know, I am here. As a matter of fact, I own this place. What makes you think you can come and deal with me and take me out of this place? Right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. They cared for nothing. Notice that opposition is always imminent. You see, as we are here talking about rebuilding, talking about being a blessing to our community, coming along, our city officials come, seeing what we can do to be a blessing in our community, the devil is not happy. He will do everything to frustrate us, and he wants us to know from beginning. Right from when I walked in here, he made himself clear to me, I'm here. But the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Whatever God has called you to do, get up and do it in Jesus' mighty name. And so when you look at Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 16, Nehemiah makes a secret tour of Jerusalem and the walls. I want us to look at 11 to 16, a few key points there. So I came to Jerusalem. After being in Jerusalem 3 days, Nehemiah still did not tell anyone why he is there, and what God had put in his heart. You see this? He says, I told no one. I told no one. You can imagine, Nehemiah was coming with soldiers and with an entourage of whatever they saw, the materials and all that. This is a big team of people that God had given Nehemiah to come and rebuild the walls and the gates. Nehemiah gets there, and for 3 days, this guy does not say anything to anyone in the community. He does not tell them his mind, what he wants to do, what God has put in his heart. For 3 good days. Wow. This is something children of God needs to learn from. You see, as children of God, we need to discern when God wants to do something and when God wants to wait on things. It is not just when you get the idea that you start running and telling everybody. No. What God wants to do, you need to be able to discern what you have to do at the right time. And Nehemiah has come all these miles away, probably taking him months of travel, and he spends 3 days doing nothing. Not talking to anybody. We need to learn from this. Some of us are quick. We talk too much. Too much. By the time we finish saying the things we want to say, the devil also has finished planning. So now everywhere you go, you face opposition. And you blame everything on the devil. But by God's grace, we will not be this kind of people. Over here, we are going to spend time praying, hearing from God, planning, putting things in the right place, and then executing as the Lord leads us. I'm telling you, executing as the Lord leads us. Don't think you have a leader that does not have a plan. This is the plan. We are working to God's calendar. The Lord said to me, as you are walking in there, before I even came for my interviews and all that, I knew what God was saying about this place. And he said to me, as you are going, I want you to pay attention to the deeper wounds in their life. There are many things God has said. If I start saying, we won't go home. And as I'm talking to most of you, I'm seeing the wounds. There are many wounds that need to be dealt with. And so as you see me walking around here, without a 16 by 20 agenda, don't think this boy doesn't know what he's doing. By God's grace, we will fulfill. Be patient, work with me, come along, and you will see what God will do. He makes all things beautiful in his time. It is important to hear him. And ministry leaders, hear this. Anything God has laid on your heart, this is not the time of talking. This is the time of planning and praying. This is the time of walking into your senior pastor's office and saying, this is what God has laid on my heart. Him coming along with you, we planning, we putting things together, praying and seeking his way forward and executing. Ministry staff, remember, your leaders are planning. So be ready. You be praying and avail yourself. We are going to be a blessing to this community. And everyone will see with their eyes. They will walk past this church and say, this church is indeed a church that cares for us. That cares for us. That cares for us. Nehemiah entered for 3 days. He didn't do anything. He told no one. This is what Charles Spurgeon says on a child of God that discerns the will of God. He says, you will often find it best not to commit your plans to others. If you want to serve God, go and do it. And then let other people find it out afterwards. You have no need to tell what you are doing to do. You are going to do. And I may add, there is no need for you retelling what you want or have done for every very frequently. God withdraws himself when we boast of what he is doing. You see, this is Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest men of God, the prince of preachers. speaking to us. Learn not to boast. Take it easy. Relax. Let people undermine you. Let them say you don't know what you're doing. Glory to God. You know what you're doing. Now he continues and he says, and viewed the walls. He went around. Now when he had to do something, he got up and went to view the walls. He went to view the walls. The way he describes it, researchers say that he went around the wall clockwise, anti-clockwise, just looking at the wall, the whole city, looking at the city walls. Looking at the city walls. Nehemiah was just, he wasn't just sightseeing. Oh, no, 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 no. Nehemiah was viewing. The word that is translated viewed in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 13 and 2 verse 15 is a medical term for probing. You know, when you are probing a wound, you take your wound to a doctor, the doctor is taking his time looking at it. They take their things and they start looking into it. They want to see every vein that is torn apart. They want to make sure everything, what is this that I'm dealing with? That is what Nehemiah did. He took his time to observe. Many times, God has given us agendas. God has given us plans. But we refuse to look at the problem areas. You see, God was doing good things in Jerusalem. In the first place, the people had gone back. They had rebuilt the temple. They were worshiping God. He himself, Nehemiah, had gone back. When he got there, there were leaders. Life was going on there. They were living their life. But Nehemiah takes time to observe the issues and the problems of the walls before he starts building. You see, sometimes it is not so much important to focus on what is good. It is important to look at that which is not right. That will be the open area for the enemy to enter, where the weakness is. And as a church, we need to pay attention to our weaknesses. As children of God, we need to pay attention to where the problem is in our life, where the weakness is in our life. Because if we refuse to do this, it is going to be the access point for the devil to come in. Going to be the access point for the devil. So we need to pay attention and deal with the problems, the issues. But you see, sometimes some people pay too much attention on the problems. There are critics in the church who see every problem in the church. Why didn't they do this? That, this is not good. We've become professional critics. And not paying attention to our own wound that is in our life, our own problem that is in our life. We need to. And Nehemiah had to know what he was dealing with. And as a church, we want to start being a blessing to our community. We really, some of you have been here for long. You might think you know. It is time for you to really start looking at Kearney and asking yourself, what is our issue? Pray and start asking God to reveal, to expose. First, yourself. What is the wound in your life? What is the problem in your life? Many people overlook their own problems, but are quick to deal with other people's problems. Parents must see problems in their children's life. Husband and wife must see the problems in their marriage. Pastors must see the problems in their life. Yesterday, I was speaking to a pastor who was telling me, if I'm not careful, my wife will kill my ministry. He knew where his source of problem was. The enemy was going to use. What is your problem? What is the broken area in your life? What is the bent down area in your life that God has to remend? God has to rebuild. Some of us are quick to see all the job here. Oh, look, there's a rat hole over there. That's where the rats come from. Why don't you just get a stick and block it? Why are you looking at Pastor Matthew? Yeah? Why don't you go to Home Depot, spend a little bit of your dollars? Even if you can't do it, just come and say, Pastor Barnes, I see this problem. So I bought this, I did this. Maybe the building team can use it. Let's be proactive about solving. The walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates were bent down. Now look at the 17 to 18. Come with me to 17 to 18. Glory to God. Now this is Nehemiah. He has gone to probe. He has come, been quiet. He has probed. He has seen what he is dealing with. And he calls a meeting. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lies waste, and it is its gates are bent down with fire. You see the distress that we are in. Nehemiah, look, my wife, by God's grace, has an African descent. She was born in UK. She is not African. Her thinking, her doing, her everything is British. You see her sitting there quietly, she's British. That's why she doesn't come trying to. She's British, let me not say much. But the point is this. Nehemiah was strictly Persian. She grew up in Persia. He grew up in Persia. He was actually having a good position and all that. He had nothing. There is nothing that connects him to Jerusalem. But right from when he heard the news, he first saw himself as a Jew. And he went to God in prayer on behalf of the Jews. Now he's going to Jerusalem and he's telling them, you see the distress that we are in. Hello, do you see the army he brought with? The military that he came with? He wasn't in distress, but he identified with his people. And as people, we need to understand, to learn, to identify with people in their needs. Some of us are walking around like Captain Planet. We can solve it. Some of us have become the Jesus to people. So people always run to us like we are the ones who can solve the issue, right? No. We need to point people to Jesus. We need to point people to Jesus. But the point is this. Identify with people, what they are going through. You see, Kani, the state of Kani, whatever that is going on in our community, the drug addicts, all the whatever you can say, we are not going to tell them we have it right and we are coming to teach you what to do. Look, me coming, I don't have it all right. I understand that it is by God's grace that I am standing here. Do you know what? I am a testimony. I'm telling you. I am a testimony. And I understand that. I don't have it all. And so we are rebuilding. I have not come as the Captain Planet. I have not come as Jesus. I am sent. I'm a servant to come and stand with you together to rebuild what God has called us to do. Your problems, your issues. That is why most of you, those of you who have already started opening up to me, all I do is let's pray. It is only Jesus who can solve the issue. I'm just here to journey with you and to remind you that we are serving a higher God. His name is Yahweh. So whatever level you are, whatever you are, whatever God has laid on your heart, understand this. You are with the people. You are with the people. Then I said to them, now, you see, then I said, now. You see, what Nehemiah did is very wise. There are a few wise things that he did, and I want to touch on them. He first said, you see the distress. Sometimes the obvious is the hardest to see. Wisely, Nehemiah did not come as if he was there. He was there to fix their problems. He said, the distress that we are in, he owned the problem himself too. I'm telling you, I have come to own the problem. Whatever the problem is here, by God's grace, we are owning it together. He said wisely, Nehemiah wisely asked for their partnership. Come, let us build the walls of Jerusalem. Look, I need you. Leaders here, I need you. What God is showing me, I know I can't do it on my own. As a matter of fact, I don't have the whatever you call to do it. But I know God has brought us here for a purpose. I need every leader. I need every congregational member. I need every visitor, every person here. We need one another to be able to fulfill God's purpose. And so please rise and be willing. Just be willing. He said, wisely, Nehemiah pointed them to their result, that we may no longer be a reproach. He told them that the state that we are in, we are a reproach. Everybody, we are a joke, we are a laughter. But we are no more going to do this. He encouraged them. Whatever your situation is, whatever battle you are in, I am here as an encourager. When you are going to support somebody, be somebody, serve somebody, go as an encourager. The Lord Jesus came as an encourager. He said to the woman who was being stoned, woman, where are your accusers? The woman looked around, there was no one. He said, neither do I accuse you. The Lord Jesus is not accusing anyone here. If the Holy Ghost is showing you something wrong in your life, that is him telling you, deal with it. Nehemiah encouraged them in the Lord. I told them of the hand of God which had been good upon me. Sometimes people need to hear that this person is literally coming in the name of the Lord. Let us speak of the things that God can do, not that which we can do. No! The Lord Jesus, what he can do, what he has done, what he is capable of, that is what we are going to tell people. We are just going to encourage and introduce Jesus. Wisely, Nehemiah gave the confidence by telling of what God had already done. I tell you, I'm a testimony. I will never stop. I know where I come from and the work God has done on me. But by God's grace, I am standing here. Wherever God has called you to go, if you focus on him and you yield to him, you surrender your totality to him, you will be a testimony in future. God is doing a great thing in your life. Look, no matter what your mess is, it is still a testimony. No matter it is. Now he said, let us rise up and build. This response of the leaders of Jerusalem was of God. After he told them everything, he said, they themselves said, let us rise up and rebuild. Again, he got the people's support, not by manipulating them or trying to twist them or judging them. No, the people themselves realized that, hold on, this guy has come to help. He has the right intent. God is with him. Let us support him. Nehemiah is setting an example to all of us. And the people, their action is also an example. Let us rebuild, please. I know you wish to be comfortable. The way you are is okay. But God can do more with us. You may have had a calling some time ago. You are not that person anymore. it is never over. Never give up. You can start afresh. There's renewal, there's refreshment. The Lord Jesus says that out of you shall flow rivers of living waters. The Holy Spirit will strengthen you if you can just give the Lord another chance. Whatever that has happened in your life, whatever is going on, God can give you another chance. And this time, you won't lose, you won't mess up. You will do it right in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So now they all set their hands to work. They started working. Let us work. But you see, verse 19, the opposition rises in response to the work of God. But when Sambalat the Oronite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" You see, the opposition, in the first place, they made it clear they were there, right, to Nehemiah. They didn't do anything until the walls had been started. They started working, now they are rebuilding. Then suddenly, the opposition becomes real. They see the progress. So they need to find a way to hinder it. Look, whatever God is doing in your life, the devil is not happy and he will send opposition. When you start doing what God has asked you to do, that is when you start facing the difficult areas in your life. But God will give us victory. But God will give us victory. You see, these people, Sambalat and Tobiah, Sambalat was a Jew. His name literally is a Jewish name associated with the priestly family. He was a very noble person. Tobiah was married to a Jew lady, a Jewish person. And research shows that he had a high position. But what do? They are the source of opposition. I tell you, the opposition, the enemy is not going to use a stranger to be the opposition. It will come right from the people who are close to you. And sometimes when it happens like that, it is the most painful part of it. But I'm telling you, as a church, as humans, we will hurt one another, we will offend one another. But God is building us up, He's preparing us, He's mending us. Let us overlook the opposition and press on to fulfill God's purpose. We can do it. We can do it. They laughed at us. I'm telling you, people probably are listening to our sermon and thinking, this guy, who does he think he's what? Yes. This church, what do they think they are doing? People can say all sorts of things. Let them laugh at us. But let us keep our eye on our Lord. Let us keep our eye on our Lord. And then the verse 20. Look at what Nehemiah did. So I answered them. Immediately, Nehemiah had to say something to them. He had to make sure that the opposition is muted right from beginning. Look, let us not stop entertaining the devil and no. Say to the enemy in their face, you have no right here. Many of us are condoning evil, too much evil, the gossip, the backbiters, the laughing, the scorn, the hate, the jealousy, the habitual lifestyle of sin. We are entertaining it too much and it's become too real amongst us. But as children of God, we need to take a stand against it and speak against it and denounce it in the name of our Lord Jesus. He said to them, you guys have no inheritance in Jerusalem. Let us let the devil know that he has no inheritance here amongst us in Jesus' name. Let us pray against it and let us speak against it. Let us stand against it in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. We must face opposition. You see, The word of God makes it clear that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. And so we must be willing and understand that opposition will come because Satan and his people are not happy about our standing. But God gives us victory. God gives us victory. God gives us victory. Nehemiah seized these two. We must seize the devil in prayer and practically. We must do this. This morning, my sermon has come to an end.